What's up, everybody? Welcome back to University of Adversity. I'm your host, Lance Isios. We have a treat for you today, ladies and gentlemen. We have high performance coach Cam McDougall joining us today. Cam is a dedicated advocate for personal growth and resilience, driven by his own experiences of lacking a supportive figure during his youth. Emphasizing the importance of embracing difficult situations as opportunities for learning and self-discovery, Cam encourages individuals to build resilience, understand their boundaries, and clarify their values. His mission is to guide men towards becoming mentors for the next generation, helping them break free from societal norms and realize their true potential. By challenging men to confront their inner fears and insecurities, Cam empowers them to evolve and unlock their inner warrior spirit through self-reflection and holistic well-being. We cover a lot in this episode. This one's powerful. We talk about values, the importance of them, self-reflection, introspection, taming your primal instincts, celibacy, semen retention, the power of self-awareness, how important physical, mental, emotional, spiritual fitness is for holistic growth, and much, much more. We dive into Cam's crazy experience in the jungle, what he learned, and really uncovered a lot that I didn't know about Cam, and I think you guys are going to love this. Like, this is powerful. This is what I love, is that in these episodes, you think you're going in one door and you end up going through another door, coming out another door. You know, it's pretty wild, and you get to learn so much. And I just feel so blessed to be able to do this and talk to people like Cam, because you get to learn so much and it allows you to just gain a different perspective, right? After doing this for so many years, you know, I've been so humbled and so I've learned so much from different perspectives on life. And it just helps me see life through like a much more well-rounded lens. And I think what Cam is doing in the world is really important. I think we're at a time where we have really soft men, and I think he's really taking the bull by the horns and helping them optimize all areas of their life so that they can kick ass and be great.
Life is going to give you challenges, struggles. It's going to force you to face your fears. Even though these may feel like your worst enemy, in truth, these are actually your greatest allies. My name is Lance Isios. Welcome to the University of Adversity.
When you sit here today and think about where you're at and what you're doing, what is the driving factor behind what you do today? Why do you do what you do today?
I do what I do today because when I was younger, I didn't have a me in my life. And so I want to be that challenging force, that eye-opening individual, that supportive role in the pursuit of excellence that I never had. And so every time I wake up and I think about the work that I do and why I'm here and why I launch what I launch and do what I do, it's to get closer and closer to helping that young man that had no direction, that had no vision, that had no clarity, and that was told he was broken and a fuck up.
When you were younger, when did that start? Walk us through a little bit of your childhood, because I'd love to get a little bit of a picture on what that looked like and how things unfolded.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, you hear that a lot, and a lot of times we go to, you know, my home life was broken and all of this stuff. And that's not what it was for me. Mm-hmm. My parents did get divorced when I was younger, yes, but they were both great individuals. They did the best they could with what they had, right? I never wanted or needed for anything. We were poor at the beginning, but it wasn't like I grew up in the projects with a really rough childhood and really rough parenting. For me, it was people didn't understand what to do with the energy that I had. They didn't know what to do with the emotional volatility I had with the ups and the downs and the lefts and the rights. I was a very passionate child. I was a very eccentric child. I was all over the place. And so even though my parents were good people and did the best that they could, they didn't really know how to handle me. And neither did the schooling system. Neither did, you know, from preschool onward. I was kind of, you know, the black sheep. And so I grew up in a system that didn't really know how to handle me and kept trying to suppress me, with drugs, therapy, all that kind of stuff from as far back as I can remember. So that narrative led to me not trusting the people that I was supposed to trust. It led me to not trust my parents. It led me to not trust the schooling system. It led me to not trust anybody that really represented authority. And because I didn't trust, we'll call that the system, the matrix, whatever you want to say, I withdrew from it. And so this started by getting suspended a lot for fighting, you know, yelling at teachers, swearing, doing very, you know, mischievous things when I was younger. It then escalated to getting suspended from high school and expelled from high schools for drug use and fighting and, you know, mouthing off and doing things like that, which, you know, led to me going to four high schools before, you know, the end of grade nine. And as I kept getting more and more withdrawn from society as a youth, I developed this narrative around, I don't belong. I can't be here. This isn't my place. And so I gravitated to other people like that. And those were generally individuals who were part of gangs, individuals who were, you know, doing crime, individuals that were on the fringe. And so I became an individual on the fringe at a very young age. I was a grade 10 high school dropout, you know, was selling drugs, getting in trouble, doing all kinds of stuff, ended up going to juvie, you know, several times between the ages of 14. And I got out after my 18th birthday on my last stint. So I was getting in a lot of trouble and I was really removing myself from the world. And that was until I found fitness, until I found performance, until I found environments that were conducive to helping me unearth what I was actually good at. So that was in cooking, that was in the restaurant, fire, energy, you know, that whole vibe, as well as the gym, as well as, you know, going and lifting weights and being able to express my demon, my anger, my badass self in a place that actually encouraged it. So I'll stop there because there's a whole other tangent we can go into about how that transition took place. But to kind of reiterate the purpose behind my answer of your first question is, you know, I do what I do to help people that know there's more for them, but don't feel that where they are or what they're doing is actually conducive to them getting there.
Yeah. I feel like that's such an issue with kids growing up too. It's like, if you don't conform to the system or what you're being told, then you're labeled as something and that you're a bad boy or you're not supposed to do that. And really it's just a matter of like harnessing that energy into something that is productive, right? And I think that happens to a lot of kids is you're almost shamed for just being you as a kid. And you're like, what the fuck? I'm just being my, like, I'm just, this is who I am. And then it ends up, you create this narrative in your life. And I feel like, man, it's so common, you know, you get told to just shut up and, you know, do what you're told. And I don't even know what the school system's like now, but I know when we were growing up, man, like, if you just weren't like little Timmy and little Sally and, you know, keep your mouth shut and do your thing, there was always trouble, man. Always trouble.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. If you weren't going for the gold star, you got ostracized, you know? Mm-hmm. And I don't like, you know, well, let me rephrase that. I like going down rabbit holes, but we don't necessarily have to here. But I feel that the schooling system, conventional school, we're not talking Waldorf, we're not talking, yeah, you know, these other more progressive schooling systems, but I believe the schooling system is set up in a way to actually dim us. It's mm-hmm. set up in a way to remove our our unique talents and give us talents and skills that support the machine, right? That support commercialization, that support, you know, working in factories, which is, you know, funny now because they're developed for factory systems and now robots work in factories, yet humans are still being treated like factory workers. And so I really do see the schooling system as that. And we can go as deep as you want into that or let it be, but that extends into society. It extends everywhere where there's this almost generally accepted status quo that people are expected to follow. And when you don't follow it or you challenge it, then you're labeled, you know, an outsider, you're a kook, whatever, until you become successful based on the parameters that are held to be important within that environment, right? So it starts in school and then it extends, you know, into society, into the corporate world, into all of these avenues. And we can get into my experience in the corporate world as well, but it was the same thing, right? It was just another box to be put in.
Yeah. If you don't follow the way it is or the way that you're told to, then, you know, there's usually hell to pay. And I mean, we saw that the last 4 years, right? I mean, you really saw, like, obviously I knew that that's the way it was in a way, but it just, you really got to see the truth and you got to see people and you got to see, like, wow, interesting. I never thought that that person would be like that, or just like fucking, you know, just fold the tent and just give in. Or like, it was just such an interesting time to witness that if you don't agree with this thing, we're either going to cancel you or we're going to call you crazy or we're going to do this kind of shit. And yeah, I mean, it's been going on forever, but, you know, I feel like the last 5 years that really showed the truth of that. And you got to really experience and witness people that you may have not thought were as strong or were as smart or yeah. And it was actually, I'm glad it happened because it really helped realize that, like, this shit that happens, it makes us more aware, right? It's like, it was just right in our face, and it becomes challenging for people that stand for something that aren't just going to listen to somebody's opinion and just kind of buy into that. And I feel like in life in general, you're going to be faced with that all the time, as you have, right? And I'm curious because you've been very successful in different areas. You were a chef, you got into executive roles. So you're obviously like a smart dude and you're able to channel that when you can, like, into that thing. And even what you're doing now, you know, like what you're doing and how you're doing it is really inspiring for people. So how do you then, when you don't agree with the people, like, how do you go into that almost like tunnel vision, or what is your process for, you got to do something great, but then there's all this other noise around, like, what do you do? Like, how do you, and if somebody out there is the same way, like, let's say they have something they want to do, or they have this energy, they have this, like, you know, they get this feeling from their intuition or whatever, but there's too much noise around and they may think that, they may allow that noise to dim them. How did you deal with that? And how would you recommend somebody that may be going through that as well?
You got to have a very strong foundation in knowing who you are, because if you don't, this world is set up to tell you who you are. So if you don't do the work to actually understand who you are as an individual, and I mean truly, like, I don't mean, you know, just surface level bullshit, I mean to really truly understand at the fabric of your soul who you are, you're going to be a leaf in the wind in this world. And for me, that all starts with values, because if you know your values as an individual and you set goals and targets based on those values. You determine your why based on those values, and you take action and make decisions based on your values. You start to develop a set of principles in your life that ultimately make you unfuckwithable the more you know them. So for me, the first step has been knowing my values, and every quarter I sit down, I reflect on my values. Every year I reflect on my values. I take time to articulate them, to define them, to make sure that I am in tune and in check with my values. And that's because if I don't know them and I can't actually shit test myself on whether or not I'm living by them, then I'm fucked. So for me, it starts with values, and that gives you a compass. It gives you a North Star.
How do you determine what your values are? Because, you know, when you hear these terms in business and personal development, it can sometimes we hear them a lot, but not understand like what they actually mean. You know, like how, if somebody has heard that before and you want to kind of deliver that message about today, they can start thinking about their values and reviewing them. How does somebody distill that down? Like, how do they, what does that actually mean?
Yeah. So the conventional, I think there's a book written on, like, I think it's called 400 Values or something. And there's this kind of, I don't know what to call it, like action people take, just this way of looking at values that looks at them as more of like words that define something. So, you know, authenticity, I value, you know, care, I value joy, I value pleasure, I value fun. And that's very subjective, right? It's very challenging to actually hold yourself accountable to authenticity, right? Mm-hmm. Because you might be authentic to someone that you really care about, but then you meet somebody that you don't know and you're not authentic. And so it's really hard to actually say, you know, my value is authenticity. So for me, the first step is making sure that they're actionable and that I can hold myself accountable to them. So I'll kind of describe my values really quickly. And then from there, we'll go into ultimately how I really think this can help people. But for me, it goes vitality. So my health, my well-being. Another value that I have is love. So my romantic relationships. Another value that I have is community. So the people that I surround myself with. Another value that I have is growth. So growing, education. Another value that I have is my mission, right? So my career, whatever you want to call that. My freedom is another value, which can be abundance, money. I just define it as freedom. Then we go down into more of the creative space. So creation, building, making things. I go into service. So giving back and really making sure that what I'm doing contributes to the world as a whole. And then finally, my ninth value is adventure, right? So making sure that I'm experiencing life. I believe that every human has those same values. They're just defined in a different way because they're connected to Maslow's hierarchy of needs. When I sit down and I go, okay, vitality is important to me because without it, I cannot experience what I want to experience in life. I feel most vital when I train 5 days a week, eat a whole food diet, and intermittent fast to start each day, right? As an example. I can then sit down and be like, am I doing that? Mm. Really, truly, right? Love is a value of mine because I believe that I should have a deep rooted connection with my partner and we should attack life together and build a joint mission. I know I am, you know, fully in love and operating at an optimal state in this value when I'm taking my woman out to dinner once a week. We're going on a couple trips every year and I'm surprising her with gifts once a month, right? I can say, am I doing that? And when you ultimately take time to define and outline these values and you make them yours, you then make every decision from that place. So if somebody comes in and they say, you know, as an example, we'll go back to love. Some guy comes in and he's like, you know, some people will say, I only want a woman that, you know, listens to what I say and you know, does what I want her to do and takes care of the house. And that's a good woman to me. I'm going to give you this program and teach you how to get a woman like that. You know, just as an example, I go to my value and I go, how do I see love? That's not for me. Mm. Right. Or a fitness program, whatever that is. And so that value grid, those nine values defined how I see them and how I can hold myself accountable to them, ends up becoming the foundation on which I make every decision. I set every goal and I go after what I'm here to do. So as long as I'm working those values and refining those values and constantly getting deeper and deeper into how I want to live through those values, nothing gets in my way. Relationships come and go based on those values. Businesses come and go based on those values. It just becomes the compass. And so that's how I stay on the path. And that's how I ultimately know that I'm living my purpose, is because for me, purpose isn't something that you go up and find and you just kind of can acquire. It's not this big, like, golden nugget. To me, purpose is something that you unearth over the course of your life by living out your values. And so when I live that way, I know I'm on my purpose, and everything that doesn't fit into that, even though it may be painful when it leaves, it has to go.
Fuck, well said, man. I want to dig into the love part a little bit. Speaking for the men and the women listening, how, because I've been thinking about this a lot as a single guy, and I see a lot of successful men with that, with a solid woman. And, you know, the long time it's like the single guy, and, you know, I've lived that life. And then I see these power couples and I'm like, fuck. I'm like, you know, there's something in me that I see that I'm like, that's what I want. And I feel like, and the question that's going to be around like your personal success and what change when you have that rooted woman, that energy, like how important has that been for you in your business? And how important do you think that value is for men to have that as a goal versus like being the single guy, you know, because it's obviously the single life has its purpose, has its time. But if you really want to be successful, what are your thoughts? You think a single dude or like the power couple, you know, and I'm starting to see this more and more and more. And I'm kind of curious as to like, when you work with guys, when you work with men, like what do you speak to about that?
I operate well in both areas, to be honest.
Yeah.
When I'm single, nothing ties me down, so I can go wherever I want to go. I can create whatever I want to create. I'm very versatile.
Okay.
And that's an asset for a while.
Right.
Right. It's an asset for a while. I enjoyed, because I don't plan on being it again. I enjoyed being single when I was seeking, because I could go into the jungles. I could go to the retreat that I wanted to go to. I could explore sexuality. I could do all of these things that I wanted to do to learn more about who I was as an individual. And so when I'm really wanting to learn about who I am, it was really powerful to be single for that, for me.
Mm.
That's not to say you don't learn about yourself in partnership. I'll get to that. But when I was seeking and really going in and looking to discover and unearth deep shit about myself, I found it very useful to be single for that.
Mm.
In one way. In relation, you have grounding, you have responsibility, you have the stability piece that doesn't come with the single life, at least for me. Because when I'm single, if I'm, you know, we'll use COVID as an example. I was like, oh, I'm out of here. I'm going to Costa Rica. I'm going to Austin. Oh, I'm going to Colorado. Oh, I'm going to Costa Rica. Oh, I'm going here. I'm going there. And so I would just up and leave, and I would be like, I'm in Peru. I'm here, and I'm doing all these things, and it's great. And eventually it ran its course where it was like, okay, no, I want my home. I want to come home to a woman that challenges me. I want to come home to a woman that now shit tests the knowledge I have about myself, and a woman that's going to want to build something with me, something, someone I can share life with, right? Because it's almost like we have to do the work solo initially, because we can't have any outside perspectives. We have to do a certain level of excavating ourselves.
Yeah.
But then we put that excavation to work when we enter, the term, conscious relationship or whatever the fuck we want to call it.
Yeah.
But we then get tested on how well we know that stuff, how well we stick to our values, how well we work with an individual, what we're willing to compromise on, what we're not willing to compromise on. And it becomes that next level of power for me. So I don't think, one is better than the other, but they both serve two very different purposes. And one is that diversity you need for internal excavation, ultimately the shit test on how much you're embodying that stuff. When it comes to business, I will say that I have more ambition, more drive, and more accountability in a partnership that I really want to make into something magical. Because there's a part of me that becomes, I'm the man. I'm like, I want to be the provider. I don't want Kyla to ever not work. Like, she loves it. It's what she does. But I don't want her to have to, right? I want to get things to a point where we're able to just create from a place of freedom and openness and fun, so that it's the purest expression of our magic and not the scrappiness that we
desperation
need to,
I gotta make
money.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly, right? Yeah. So I like how I operate in business more when I'm in partnership, because I feel that I show up more as the provider, the protector, the man. And we don't have kids and we don't plan on having kids, but also the more fatherly role of the household, right? Where it's kind of like, I've got us. And that feels really good. It feels very grounded. So that's how I address that. They both serve a purpose, but for me right now, I'm evolving into the one where I'm the man of the house, and I want to make that as amazing as I possibly can.
Yeah, I think the stages of life are important, right? But like, when you see, like, at least when I look out now and I see like a successful guy that I admire, they're always with a woman. Like, they're not like single dudes at the end, Like, they're not living the single life. I agree. The you learn so much about yourself when you don't have, you don't have to answer to somebody, and you can get up and go and all of that. And I think there are seasons for that. And yeah, well said, man. I mean, I think it's just a matter of like knowing when that time is for you. And I think that can be challenging too, because there's a lot of temptation, right? Especially now, like, there's always opportunities and you're meeting people and it's always like, oh, should I settle down with this one? And should I, this isn't the one. And it's like, it can be challenging if you're not sure of what you want and you're not sure at the stage that you're at.
Bingo. And that to me is the, and I do this with all the men I work with, is, and they hate it so much because men really suck at articulating this, but I say, what do you want? What do you actually want in a woman, in a relationship, in your life? And that's the most, in my opinion, the most important thing for us to answer before we go into partnership. And then to sit down with the potential person in partnership and say, what do you want? And then you make sure that they're aligned. Because if they're not, better to find out in the first couple months than 5 years down the road, right? And so I think that's the key, is really knowing what you want. Because I'll add this caveat. I know a lot of men that are, I was one, that are serial monogamous. Like, they can't not be in relationships because they don't know how to be alone. They don't know how to take care of themselves without a woman. And so you see that a lot as well, where men will settle and men will just enter relationship after relationship because they don't know how to be in a room by themselves for any extended period of time. Right. So it's important to pay attention to that. And that's why for me, intentionality is everything, right? And so if the intention is to do the work, to be limber, versatile, flowy, to be able to move in and out of life, be intentionally single, right? But if the intention is I want a relationship, I want to deepen my knowing of who I am, I want to connect with someone that really truly highlights this stuff to me, someone I can build with, someone that's going to shit test me, someone that's going to challenge me, someone that's going to empower me, then start actively cultivating what type of person you want to attract, right? And put yourself in circumstances to attract that person, you know? And it's all about intention for me when it comes to that. Relationships get very ugly, in my opinion, both being single and not, when it's unintentional, because then resentment forms on both sides of the coin, right? And so it's important to sit with yourself and to ask yourself that question. Once again, coming back to the values, how do you value love? Do you value self-love right now? Are you working on self-love? Because that's best done by yourself. Or do you value learning how to be in partnership and love a woman in a way you've never loved a woman? Then start putting yourself out there to attract a woman, and don't settle. If she can't answer the question on what do you want in a relationship, you know, 5, 6, 7 dates in, hasta luego, you know, it just, it's not going to work, right? So it helps you with discernment. It helps you with intentionality, all of these things.
What do you say to somebody that is worried that, like, okay, for instance, I like to speak about myself, and I'll put it out there that I feel like that urge of the next one, it never gets filled by the next one and the next one and the next one. It's like a never ending thing, you know? And there's also this fear that I know a lot of guys fear, and I've talked to a lot of people about it. And I know that it's partly in my head too. It's like, well, when will that go away? Will that one person ever, you know, will give you that feeling?
Satisfy you.
Yeah. Yeah. And be able to not be like always chasing things, always the next one, the next thrill. 'Cause it is a thrill. And it's like, you know, especially when you grow up in areas where you're getting validation from women all the time, right? And I know, I'm sure you've gone through that many times, and it's like, well, wait a second here. You know, it's like, when will that urge, and when, like, how will that ever be solved and satisfied with one? And I'm sure you get asked that a lot. Like, how, what does that look like? How does that... Do we ever, or are we just this, I value this more than that?
I don't think that ever goes away, but it gets quieter. I was a fuckboy growing up. Like, I was a total slut, right? I could not settle down. I'd be in and out of relationships, and then I was, you know, all over the place. And I did that for year after year after year after year.
Yeah.
You know, women were never a problem for me in my life. But what I've realized is it was always the same.
Empty.
Empty. Exactly. And the thrill was great, but it was kind of like doing a rail of blow, right? You know, after a while, you're kind of like, wow, it's the same thing, but you're waiting for that first one you hit where it's like, woo.
The outcome is always the same. The outcome is always the same.
Always the same. And so I had that realization. And when I had that realization, I actually went celibate for a year.
Did you?
So I did. And, ah, and good I, for you, I did man. Retention for 4 months of that year.
Wow.
So that taught me to not distract myself with women. It taught me to sit with my urges. And what it really showed me is that there's an animal inside of me as a man. There's a fucking beast, bro. Like, and he plays by nobody's rules. He's an absolute horn dog. He's an asshole. He's a savage. He's primal. He's a caveman. And so I, in that year, learned to submit that motherfucker. I had to be like, in my view of where I'm going as a man, your tendencies don't belong there. And so I decided when I left celibacy, I said, I'm not going to sleep with any woman I date until at least 2 months into the relationship so that I can spend 2 months getting to know the person before I engage in that, which to me was my best way to settle that animal. And not every woman was into it. The ones that were would test me, try to break me. And in that process, it's like just a blowjob, you know, let's just do oral. And I'm like, oh, you know, and you hold back and you hold back and you hold back. Because I wasn't even doing that. Beyond kissing, I was like, nope, we're getting to know each other. And I learned to harness that animal, to tame that beast. And so now in relation, sure, you know, there's that primal side of me, but he's super fucking quiet and he knows his place. And now if he ever pops up and says anything, I'm like, look at my woman. She's amazing. She's beautiful. She's powerful. She's everything I've ever wanted. You want to go fuck a floozy? Shut up. You know what I mean? Like, and yeah. I say that with all due respect, right? I'm just, that's 100%. The narrative that happens in there, right? So to me, that's been the biggest evolution, is to really know that there's a deviant in me who's an asshole that, well, he's not even an asshole. He's just doing what he knows how to do, right? So
yeah, you're an animal. An animal.
Exactly, right? And so I know that's there.
Mm.
I dim him and I focus on the man that I want to be, and I double down on what my value of love is now. And my value of love now is deepening in partnership, because no matter how good the sex appears to be with somebody else, there's nothing more beautiful than deepening your connection with your partner and really getting to know somebody on the deepest level when it comes to sex and connection. And so that's now become my focus. Before it was like, how many women can I sleep with? Now it's how deep can I get with one woman that we just are lost in each other?
Mm. Man, I resonate with all that so much about the beast and the animal and the savage, because again, we are told that that's like that's bad or whatever, right? Like, but harnessed properly, that is the fucking force. That's the life force. And when you were saying that, man, I was like, oh dude, like I resonate with that so much, because I found like I've wasted that so much on unnecessary distractions with women over the years, you know? And that has always been my thing that I'm even like currently working on, is that a lot of that stuff is just one big fucking distraction, waste of time. None of these like little conversations and, you know, talking to these women, and it doesn't do anything for that power of harnessing it and going without. And the fact that you were able to go a year, and I've thought about that too. And even like semen retention for 4 months, like this shit is so important and it's not talked about enough. Like, let's fucking be honest here. Like, men don't talk about this shit that often, but I honestly think this problem, especially with women and porn and all the shit, it's just depleting our fucking life force. And I think it's about time that like dudes, like all the guys, even girls, like sit down and like look at your relationship with yourself and like, are you wasting that and using that as like a distraction, and, you know, and being able, like you said, about taming that beast, taming it and being like, look, I hear you, but I value this more. This is more important. And being able to harness that in, dude, it's so powerful, man. And I guess that this really resonates with me, because this is something that I have been working on as well, about figuring out like what does that look like? How does that go away? These like constant temptations all the time. It's like, but it there's a cost. It depletes you.
Mm-hmm.
There's an energy cost to all of that shit. Mm-hmm. It's fun, but it's like, what's the real priority here? And, you know, as you get older, you start to realize, like, what's the priority? Because eventually we're going to get old and we're not going to have the same body. We're not going to look the same way. I mean, we will, but you know what I'm saying? We get older, right? We're not fucking, you know, 30 years old, 25 years old. So, yeah, man, powerful stuff. Very powerful.
Yeah, I feel that man or woman, everybody needs to take a year of celibacy intentionally.
Yeah.
And commit to doing that excavation of oneself.
Yeah.
Because from a you know, sexual energy perspective or sexuality, whatever you want to call it, whether you want to be woo-woo or not, it gives you clarity on what you want, who you are, and ultimately what you're using sex to distract yourself from, right? Because money, sex, and fitness, though they are all awesome things, they are also massive distraction mechanisms and amplifiers of whatever's on the inside, right? So if you have depression, anxiety, or self-hatred or whatever, the money, the pursuit of money will help you, you know, get the dopamine to not feel the pain of that thing. But the more money you make, ultimately, the more that tendency will become exacerbated within yourself and you'll subconsciously display it, right? And so for me, you need to take time to sit with the stuff you're using those things to distract yourself from. Otherwise, you're never going to be fulfilled. You're never going to ultimately get where you want to go, because the thing that you think is going to bring you the joy is actually the thing that is protecting you from the pain, blocking you from feeling it. And that is trouble, because there's a barrier between you and fulfillment. So that knowing of self, that excavation of self, that understanding of self is, in my opinion, the most important thing any human has to do. And I'm not talking about just going and doing a 10-step course on how to find yourself, or going to do, you know, Date with Destiny with Tony Robbins, or, you know, all these, like, even though those things help, what's really going to bring the biggest change is what you do when you strip yourself of all the things that you use to distract and you sit in that, because that's what actually lets all that shit come to the surface. And then when you have a therapist and you go to Tony Robbins and you do all these things, you can use those as tools to manage and deal with what's coming to the surface. But until you actually let that stuff that's deep down inside of you come to the surface, that shit's not helping you. It's actually hurting you.
What did that year look like? Like, where were you? Like, what are some of the things you were doing to harness that and feel it and to understand it? Like, what were you doing that year?
So I traveled a lot, and I was engaged, and I called off an engagement, and it was a very, very challenging time in my life. And so I went, I'm done with this relationship thing. Obviously, I'm missing the mark. Obviously, I'm not doing it right. So I need full space from it. And what I knew was, okay, well, if I sleep with someone that I'm interested in, I'll fall in love. And so I don't want that to happen. So what I need to do is I need to cut off sex, because if I cut off sex, then I'm good. So what I did is we packed up our house. I moved out. She moved out. I went down to the US and spent some time in Austin because I was looking to kind of build community. Didn't really feel the vibe there. Spent some time in Colorado. Didn't really feel the vibe there. I was living in a little house in the mountains in Boulder. And then I was like, I can't be in this environment. I can't be in Canada or the US. So I flew to the jungles of Costa Rica. I flew down to the southern kind of point of Costa Rica, bought a motorcycle and rode up the coast and, you know, just spent a lot of time alone and journaled, meditated, walked the beaches, thought about what happened in my relationship, did a lot of the excavating work. Cause that was a very interesting circumstance because my ex-fiance at the time saw it very differently than I did. And so there was all these perspectives that were different, and I couldn't understand how we could both see this situation so differently. So I used that as opportunities to unpack and evaluate and look at where I was going and look at what, you know, what role I played, what role she played. I went and sat with ayahuasca. I sat with psilocybin. I went into the tantra space a bit to understand more of that aspect of myself. I've spent a lot of time in the ocean. I just spent a lot of time by myself asking questions. You know, why did you enter that relationship? Why did it go the way that it did? Why weren't you sexually attracted to her at the end? Why did, you know, you not want to just like fully cut ties? All these questions that I didn't know the answers to. And what I realized was ultimately that I was afraid to be alone. And when I realized that, I went, okay, I'm going to go down to the Amazon jungle by myself, not at a retreat center. I'm going to take a boat into the Amazon and I'm going to do my work alone.
Fuck.
And I spent 10 days in the Amazon by myself with three medicine men. And it wasn't luxury. It wasn't comfortable. It was shit. I was coughing up blood one day. Like, it was rugged, man. And I had these moments where I was like, I might just die out here, you know, and no one would know. And I found who I was in that. And I really came to acceptance of who I was, acceptance of my faults, acceptance of all these challenges that I've had. And, you know, really came out of that with a lot more clarity on why I had done what I had done, but also more clarity on who I was and how I wanted to live. And then I continued my dieta for about 2 months after that, 3 months after that. So I did a total of about 5-6 months of dieta, which was wild, right? Because that's what the shaman prescribed for me. And it just kind of resulted in me getting immense clarity and doing that. So I spent a lot of time alone without friends, without people around me, and a lot of introspection.
Wow, man. That's wild. So from there, how did you, what made you, because I know that you've kind of, you pivoted a little bit with your direction, and now, you know, you're, what did that look like after? Were you coaching men more of like, what was it before and after? Cause now I know, you know, with embodied performance, focus on, you know, performance and the five bodies, and we can get into that. Like, what made you want to work in that capacity now? And like, how did that, what did that look like? And how did you decide to sort of pivot?
Yeah, great question. So I used to work with both men and women. You know, my company Embodied has evolved recently to more of the performance space because I found that that's really what I enjoy the most. But I coached, you know, hundreds of men and women over the years. And one thing that I kept, one pattern that I kept seeing, and I say men and women, it was predominantly about 70% women and 30% men. What I found was I would get a lot of women to a certain level and their husbands would hold them back.
Mm.
And I walked women through divorce. I walked women through, you know, custody issues. I walked women through, you know, coming into their power and having to change the narrative in their families around what it meant to be mommy or what it meant to be the wife. And I got death threats by husbands. I got, you know, men, you know, almost forcing the women not to see me. I got people saying that I was trying to steal their wives. Like, it was so wild to see what came of that. And in that, it was funny because at first I went, I think I'm just going to work solely with women because they obviously want my services. And then I had this epiphany moment where I said, but no, these women keep hitting these ceilings because men are fucked up. And lots of them are, you know, I find women take much better to this work than men do. It's much more, they enjoy it more. They understand it more. And I believe this is because they're just much more connected to their emotions than men are, but men don't. And based on my past, based on my connection to fitness, based on my more rugged approach to this, based on knowing, you know, what it's like to be an addict, a drunk, a misogynistic prick, a fucking criminal, a drug dealer, like knowing what it's like to be all these things, I felt that I had the best foundation to actually get to a place where I could see these men in a way that they'd never been seen before. And so I just started working with solely men recently. It was something I resisted forever. I was like, I don't want to work with men. Fuck that. I'm like, they're way too fucking stubborn. They don't want to go into it. Like, I don't want to do it. But then I went, no, like that's why they need me there. And embodied performance is based around, you know, redefining what it means to be elite. And to be elite, in my opinion, sure, you need the physical, you need the mental, you need also the energetic, i.e. the nervous system, you need the emotional intelligence, and you need the connection to spirit, to connection to the divine, you need accountability to something that's bigger than you. And so many men stop after fitness. They think that, oh, I train, so that's good enough. Or they go into, you know, a David Goggins style mindset, which is great. I love it. He's awesome. And at the same time, they stop there. And they don't look at, okay, how's my nervous system? What's my relationship like with my emotions? What's my relationship like with my God, the divine, whatever you want to call it? They stop there. And so I realized, like, nah, these men need to have somebody in their life that shows them how powerful and useful those things are from a language that they're going to understand, i.e. I bridge it through fitness and mindset. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of the evolution. That's how it came to be. And it's been great. It's been, you know, some of the most fulfilling work I've ever done, having men in my programs that, you know, come from addiction, come from, you know, narcissism, come from manipulation, being fuckboys, all of this stuff. And they come into realizing, wow, that's not who I am. That's, you know, just what I built up around myself. Because let's be honest, we all just kind of have a scared little boy inside of us that was never taught how to actually become the person that he wanted to be or do the things that he wanted to do, which brings me full circle to the first question you asked me, which is now my whole mission is to access that and to work with men on going into that so they can get the validation and the support and the affirmation that they never got, so that now they can turn the tides and become the fucking warriors they're supposed to be, become the businessmen they're supposed to be, become the individuals that generate purpose-driven profits, not just bottom line profits to buy the new car, to buy the new suit, to do the new thing that makes them look better because they're extremely insecure. It's helping them get to a place where they're rooted in who the fuck they are, and they build from that place. And in my opinion, when you build on the physical, mental, energetic, emotional, and spiritual aspects from that foundation of values and understanding, you become a force to be fucking reckoned with. Like physical, mental, that's 40% of the equation.
Yeah.
You have 60% more potential, if not more, because I believe the spiritual side opens you up to something beyond anything you can even imagine. But the potential is unreal. Mm-hmm. And so that's why I do what I do.
Yeah. Yeah, man. Because like things like mindset can only, they're so important, but they can only get you so far. And there's times where you gotta go into the programming, into the operating system, right? And yeah, man, it's powerful stuff. It's interesting that you had resistance to just working with men, because mm-hmm. I've had that same thing. it's weird, because like for me, seeing you, I'm like, oh man, that's like a natural thing. But it's interesting that you had that resistance, because maybe it's the same, like you didn't want to be just another men's coach, right? Is that probably what it was?
Totally.
Just another men's coach in Austin or whatever, you know, like you see that. And that's great that you push through that, because that resistance is fucking can stop you from helping so many people.
Yeah, most definitely. And you know, the thing that really helped me is that I'm not a men's coach. Like, I'm a men's performance coach. I'm not here to tell men how they should live. I'm not here to tell men what's right, what's wrong. I'm here to challenge you. I'm here to invite you. I'm here to bring you into a new conversation that you've been avoiding for your whole life, right? And so I don't even really consider myself like someone who's like, I'll teach you how to be more masculine, or I know more about masculinity. No, what I know is that you're a fucking warrior. And I know that you live in a world that suppresses that shit. And I know how to pull that out of you if you're willing to it for me to do so. So to me, that's really it. And it's pushed me to evolve to a new level as well of, you know, I used to see confronting men as a fight. Right. My whole experience with, you know, men in the past was, if we don't see eye to eye, let's fucking go. Right. But now I confront men from more love than they've ever experienced, where it's like, no, I see your potential. I see what you're capable of. I see the magic that you have inside, and you can't fucking see it. So wake the fuck up, start making the changes, and your life is going to become something you never thought it possibly could. Because so many fucking men, bro, are just, they're dying on the vine and they don't even know it. They don't even know it. They can't even see it. They're withering away. They're withdrawing. They're eating shit. They're drinking shit. They're jerking off to porn. They're doing all these things to escape their reality because they live in a society that wasn't built to help them unleash the fucking beast and come into a place of power. From a place of knowing your values, knowing your why, knowing your purpose. And that's what we need, man. We need that stuff. It's not that, that shit isn't a luxury. It's a necessity. And so now I challenge men because I know that that's what I needed, you know, and I know that that's what so many men need. They just need to be able to have the conversations, and they need to be challenged in a way that causes them to think outside of the fucking status quo they've been operating in for their whole lives.
Yeah, man. How can people work with you? Can you talk to us about like some of your programs and like, you know, what does that look like? I know you have something going on with the games. Yeah. I'll let you speak to us about what you got going on here.
Yeah, definitely. So, you know, in all honesty, as I said, I'm relatively new to just the working with men world. So I'm still trying to figure out the best way to invite men in. So I don't know exactly when you're going to be posting this, but there will be, you know, multiple offers coming out over the next little bit, because I want to make sure that I figure out exactly what you guys want. So that's the first piece I'll say. So the best place to stay connected to all this stuff that's going to be coming out is through my Instagram. But I created what's called the Embodied Elite Men's Program. And this is kind of the full spectrum, go through the five bodies, dial in your purpose. You know, it covers everything in your life, right? And I built that because I knew a lot of men in my world that wanted it. So I built it. I served it to them. What I'm realizing is a lot of men aren't ready for that yet, right? It's high ticket. It's a 6-month commitment. I kick you out if you don't show up, right? Like it's a no bullshit sink or swim environment, right? I realize now that some men need more prep for that. And so the Embodied Warrior Games is a 35-day challenge. It's $100 right now. I actually think I might make it free because, you know, it just seems to be that might be a better avenue to get people in. So it might change when you've launched this. But there's going to be more fitness programs coming out. We've got the Embodied app, which has fitness programs, meditation, breath work, all these different things. So we're coming out with various products right now to help men come into our world and get into the work. So the challenge, the Embodied Warrior Games, the great starting point, mindset, fitness, 35 days, get your routines dialed in. That's it. That's all. The Embodied app, you can get 14 days for free. You come in, you can watch some video content, do some workouts, get access to all of your practices in one place. And then if you are someone listening and you are like, nah, I want that. I want the full meal deal. I want to go all in. I want the 6-month experience for the Embodied Elite Men's Program. It's an application process, but I'll provide you with that link and you can go through that. But also just reach out, you know, our community's growing every day, but it's still small and intimate. So I'm not hiding behind a firewall of click funnels and offers. I'm a dude. I'm here to talk. So come to Embodied Coaching on Instagram, shoot me a message and let's see what lines up.
Yeah. All the ladies out there, send your husbands, send the men in your life too. They need it.
Yeah. And they have to want it. You know, I, what I've realized is that a lot of women reach out to me and they're like, my husband needs you. My boyfriend needs you. And I'm like, he has to want it.
Yeah.
And if he doesn't want it, there's no point in him and I having a conversation, especially if you force him to do it. So
yeah.
If, just plug it, you know, send him my reels, do certain things to just get and kind of, get me in front of him, but he's the one that's going to ultimately have to want it. And, I'm figuring out the best ways to get men involved because I do know it is scary and I do know it is challenging and I do know that it is intimidating for a lot of men to go into this work, especially because we hate admitting that we don't know something.
Yeah.
But that's the ego that you got to let go of. And that's what you got to drop. And, when you start to embody the student and you start to open up to other men that have a different perspective, because for me, it's all about perspective, not necessarily knowledge. You realize just how much you actually don't know. And it actually is a good thing. It's an empowering thing.
That's huge. And like, I don't trust anybody that pretends that they know everything. Like, I'm like, you're full of shit. Like,
yeah,
you know, and that's why I think having conversations like this on podcasts, it's like, you know, people get to know, you know, who you are. Right. And, yeah, man, I appreciate you sharing some of that stuff, you know, cause I think it's really important just to show, you know, the level that, the different things that you've done in life, man. And I think that, a lot of men can relate to your story and I think it's powerful what you're doing, brother. So thank you. Appreciate you.
Of course, man. It's an honor and it's a pleasure. And, I can't not do it now.
Yeah.
You know, the big mission is to eventually get to at-risk youth and to get to the young man that I was. So that's, you know, what we're slowly building. And a lot of the men in the Embodied Elite community are already supporting in that way and giving back to their communities to help young men, because in my opinion, that's where it all starts. So my mission with all of this is to, you know, create men that ultimately become mentors to the next generation. And we can interrupt this pattern of being put in a box and shut off from what it is we're actually here to be.
Love it. Just, we'll finish off with one question here before we get out of here. What is one piece of advice that you have for somebody who may be in the shit right now struggling?
As annoying as it is to hear, this is a good thing. You're being given an opportunity right now to build resilience, to learn about yourself, to learn about your boundaries, to learn about your values. So don't try to rush out of it. Learn from it, because whether you want to believe it or not, this is going to be a source of your power in the future. And don't waste that.
Boom. Mm-hmm. Thank you, brother.
Of course. Of course. Of course. Appreciate you, man.
Appreciate
always
you.
Always a blast.
Yeah. I had a great time on your show too, brother. Thank you so much, man. I'm looking forward to sharing this with everybody.
Beauty.
Thanks, guys.